This is the Draft Prospect Review Podcast from Patriots.com.
With the 22nd pick, the New England Patriots select.
Now here to preview the prospect are the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.
Wednesday, April 14th, here at Gillette Stadium for another Draft Prospect
Review.
Where we
preview
all of the players.
Prospects.
The prospects. Prospects. I was very, very unprepared for that start. I was disputing Mike Mayock's inside linebacker rankings, and I was checking my notes to see how many guys that I disputed.
Yes, that's right.
Paul Perillo was getting, arguing with the scroll with, on NFL Network with himself. As
we're getting
as,
punchy 8 days before the
as
draft.
As he is wont to do, and that, Eric, is...
With an O.
Thank you very much. Today, we will be talking about defensive linemen and previewing some defensive tackles and defensive ends. Trying to exclude guys at defensive end that we think are more of outside linebackers. We'll leave those guys out of this equation. But before we get to that, Andy Hart, Eric Scalavino, Bill Belichick spoke today. I would say, annual pre-draft press conference, even though it isn't actually every single year. It's more often than not. Clearly, he's not going to tip his hand as to which way he's going, but did you guys get much out of that today, either one?
Two things I took out of it of note, I think, was the fact that he's fielding a lot of calls for those second-round picks.
I never said that.
You kind of did, Bill.
No, he flat-out did.
Yep.
He said it.
And just his comments about the draft overall, that it's filled with a lot of youngsters and particularly some guys who didn't play at all last year who could be in the top portion of the draft. I was thinking of Jermaine Gresham,
Rob Gronkowski.
In particular. But maybe that guy's...
You know, big-time players, I go small-time Buffalo guy.
Well, basically because he said the unusual aspect of this draft is that there are a lot of medical concerns at the top of guys that are expected to be taken early in the draft.
You rank them the way you want to rank them, I'll rank them the way I want to rank them.
So that was interesting.
What'd you make of the second-round thing?
The trading?
Truth or a call to tell us we would like to take some...
I think probably he accentuated it for the latter.
Fiction.
That's what I took out.
He also said that's not unusual. It happens every year.
No, I don't think it is. But I think there's a chance part of that was maybe drumming up even more interest in those second-round picks.
Now,
they have the ammo.
Here's
Let's
the
put
question
them to use if we want to.
The question I'll ask you guys, do you think if indeed he is looking to deal one of the second-round picks, which I think all three of us would be in agreement, not be a surprise.
No.
Would he be doing so for this year's draft? In other words, maybe bundle picks, get down into the third round, close up some of those gaps, or
move up,
looking to the future of getting maybe a first-round pick in 2011 to have three first-round picks next year?
I would, just given history, I would say he's probably looking to fill in the gaps in the third and fifth round.
I think he'd be open to anything. I think he just looks at them as, I'm not sure he wants three picks in the second round that close together, because what are the chances three guys he wants are right in that ballpark there? And I think he's just wants to keep all those lines, find out these are the three teams I could trade up with. These are the three teams I could trade back with. These are the three teams I could trade out with. Just get some possibilities so you have all those ready. As he said, when you're on the clock, you can't call 31 teams. You have to be ready. So
that's not an effective way to go about
business. Based on the guys that could or may not be available when he picks, I think he wants to have all of those options sort of slotted for which numbers to dial to maybe see what he can do.
Yeah, I think he left the door open for moving up as well because he did kind of say we have a lot of flexibility with the...
He said he could get probably
anywhere he wanted to. Right, so I think
he
left the door open for a possible move up. I don't think it's as likely as a move down, but I think something will happen one way or the other. I don't think they'll stay with those four picks where they are.
Okay. I agree as well. I don't think there's much of a chance of them using all three of those second-round picks. I would be surprised. Certainly not in the spots that they're in right now. And with him, one trade usually, there's more to follow. So
he gets another?
Yeah. I mean, if he trades out of that first pick and, was talking to someone about the overall draft a little bit earlier, and he mentioned just the possibility of Jimmy Clausen sort of being around late teens, early 20s in that area, does that make the Patriots a very attractive team to trade with? With all their picks, they love to trade. someone wants Claussen at 22. If they think he's going to be available, maybe they jump in. And
I wouldn't do it. That's a bad spot for second-tier quarterbacks over the years.
Well, I'm
JP
talking about
Lossman,
I,
Rex Grossman.
But I wouldn't want to do it
at
the
mother,
Patriots.
Brady Quinn.
I'd be very upset if the Patriots ended up doing that because I think they need to take a guy. But that's for the draft shows.
Fans
next
at the
week.
Draft party won't be happy either. Pretty much the only thing he hasn't done in a trade is trade out early. And then someone slides and trade back into the spot he traded out of to get the guy that slid that he didn't think was going to slide. He's never done that, I don't think.
Could happen. All right, defensive tackles. We'll start with this group here. And I didn't think, in looking a little bit yesterday, that there were a ton of guys that I thought fit the 3-4 mold in terms of ends. There were a few I thought that could be nose tackles. Dan Williams, the kid out of Tennessee, would be one that shot right to the top of my attention in that regard. I'm going to kind of eliminate Sue and McCoy here because they're top five picks. Both of them I thought were outstanding.
Bill could get anywhere he wanted.
Nearly identical.
On tape.
Nearly identical.
I really liked both of those guys a lot.
Yep.
That's the first time ever. The top four D tackles got up arrows from Andy.
Yeah, I liked this group in general, the defensive tackles. I thought there were a lot of guys that I thought could play.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not sure that there were a lot of guys that could play in the 3-4 at end.
Maybe
that's what the Patriots are looking for.
Maybe the Brian Price kid from UCLA. I thought I liked his tape a lot. I thought he might have had that versatility either to play inside or out.
Short.
Yeah, a little bit short.
A little short,
a little short maybe, but he seems to be able to make the plays.
I thought he had
an impressive. Definitely powerful. He has the two-gap power, and they did some two-gapping there. I just don't know he has the height and the length that they like at that position.
Maybe.
I think Andy's right in terms of the height, but he might be one of those guys, you know, and Bill talked about the standards, you know, if he has a plus in every other standard that they're looking for, and maybe he's a little short, you know, maybe he can get away with it. But at 6'2", 300 pounds, he is a little, he's heavy enough, but
he's
a little short.
He's 6'1".
Oh, he's only 6'1",
he's one of those guys that lost an inch. Don't want to lose an inch.
That's really short for that position. But I agree with the assessment for both of you guys. I thought he looked terrific on tape.
We should talk very quickly. Another thing that jumped out at me today, Bill did say, you know, all the 2009 review scouting, self-scouting is done. But in his discussion of that answer, he said, we're going to do whatever we think to fix it. And he used the words, change the scheme any way we need to.
Yeah.
As we've talked about on Debate Friday, 3-4, 4-3, 2-gap, 1-gap, we should bring that into play here with these tackles and ends because they have met with a lot of guys in this group, some of which would appear to be, like Dan Williams, a high-end nose tackle. But you have Vince Wilfork, so are they looking to do something with four-man fronts? You need two tackles. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's value there. Just want to throw that out there. And then that would make other guys potentially better fits for the Patriots if they're looking at more four-man fronts and one-gap type defense.
I agree. If you're looking for four-man fronts, I think a lot of these guys make a lot of, you know, Dan Williams.
Sure.
Next to Vince Wilfork makes a lot of sense.
I also just want to throw out there, there's also the chance that they're looking. Wilfork played three games with some end last year, I believe,
four. Yeah, a few times, yeah.
Maybe they're looking for that percentage to increase to 35% of the snaps all year. I don't know. Just throw that out there, too.
Okay, some other guys that caught your eye. You know, I kind of like Lamar Houston out of Texas.
I did, too. I think he could play.
Wish we had more footage of him.
He's a guy
that disappointing.
6'3", 305, a little shorter probably than the ideal. I think they like 6'4", 6'5". But certainly better than 6'1", as we talked about earlier with Price. I think he has the athleticism and the motor and the strength and kind of everything else you need in terms of versatility to be that two-gap end, rush the passer a little bit, do a lot of different things. 4'8", 4'40", for a guy of that size, pretty impressive.
He was pretty athletic.
I thought the kid from Syracuse, Arthur Jones, reminded me a little bit of Jarvis Green in the making.
I liked him.
Seems solid. Nothing overly.
What'd you say?
Kind of agree, which means I don't really want
him. Yeah, not overly impressive, but it looks like,
where he's expected to go is Jarvis Green.
Yeah.
Fourth round, middle round kind of guy. I kind of agree with Eric. You know, maybe it was the number.
And when I put Mike Wright and Jarvis Green on the field.
I didn't even think of it in that regard, but yeah,
I moved Vince Wilfork to end.
Yeah. But I thought that he did some nice things. Now, he's another medical concern, and our backup producer, Toyota Tacoma, also big fan, obviously, of Syracuse football.
Alum.
Was really talking him up a little bit a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
One guy that I think, I don't know, Eric, I haven't gotten your impression of this guy yet, but Andy and I are in agreement that we don't like him. That's gotten a lot of play is the kid out of Cal, Tyson Alualu.
Tyson Alualu.
I thought he was, you know, pretty quick and
very athletic.
Very athletic. I don't think he fits at that position. I think there's a place for him on the defense somewhere, but I don't think it's at the tackle spot. Maybe if they do more of the
for him on a different team's defense.
No, yeah. But if they do switch to the 4-3, one gapping attacking style.
Then
I think that makes sense. If they stay with what they have, he's not much of a fit, but. I did kind of like him in that regard. I thought he was very athletic and quick and
he didn't look like he was 290 pounds to me.
He didn't.
He looked smaller than that.
He did.
Maybe it's because he was so quick.
But I don't know.
I'm not sure how much of a fit he would be. I mean, I'm sure that if he could play, you find a place for him. You know, depending on what the scheme is. I'm not sure
at what level.
Yeah, I'm not
sure.
That's
why I'm saying Mike Wright, Jarvis Green, they're good backups to Richard Seymour.
He might have hit a ceiling. He might be one of those just
Peter.
You know, really good college player who doesn't necessarily translate. A later round guy, although seems to be kind of jumping up the board a little bit in recent weeks, that you guys have talked about on PFW in Progress is the kid out of LSU, Al Woods.
Oh, my boy Al Woods. Yeah.
Big
fan.
Now, this guy, that to has me, the is the prototype.
Right.
Legit.
Right.
6'4", 309. Yep. You know,
didn't have a great career.
No, he didn't have a great career, but I thought he looked I thought he looked solid on the tape, and he does
the part.
Fit the
yep.
requirements.
There were I found some stuff online early in his career, kind of projecting him based on his high school ability measurables. Some people believed he was a top five type developmental prospect, top five overall pick, and obviously he never lived up to that. But you're talking about a guy 6'4", 310. I just think he fits the bill, fills the bill at the DN spot. In a pinch, could probably play some nose for you. I think he's a versatile defensive lineman.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we haven't seen enough tape to say his motor's not good enough, he's an underachiever, whatever. But in terms of the mold, I'd give him a chance.
Yeah, I felt the same way. I thought 3-4-N makes perfect sense in this system if that's what they're going to stay with. And I like his potential just based on what we saw, the limited footage we had of him. I mean, there was pretty decent footage of him, actually, but...
Couple other guys just to throw out.
I
there,
wanted
some
to
of
ask
which
you guys some
we didn't have footage on
hidden gems.
Terrell Troop, I think, is a nose tackle type. If they were looking for a mid round, if he slips a little bit, backup nose tackle, developmental guy.
Yeah, a little bit raw.
Pull the plug on Ron Brace. He could be next in line.
Hmm.
Cam Thomas out of North Carolina, another developmental nose tackle guy.
Huge.
Linval Joseph is a guy that a lot of people really like. I think he's a bit of a late riser. 6'6", 322 is what I have him listed as. So surely. I would assume he'd be an end. That's pretty high to be a nose tackle.
Yeah.
A lot of people really rave about his versatility. So I think those are some guys to keep an eye on that we didn't have footage of, but are intriguing names.
I didn't love Troop as much as you guys did, but
I like him.
I like him. I mean, I think he has potential.
I definitely agree with Andy's assessment in terms of his position and whatnot, but I thought he was a little slow. I suppose you don't need to be a speed merchant playing that position. No, inside.
Yeah. Also, have to be careful with which tape you watch because he dropped 30-something pounds as a senior.
Oh, all right. Well, that's a good point.
You may have been watching the 345 version, not the 315 type version.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Just saying.
Good point
Keep
by you.
There. Of course, I don't believe anything that I read in terms of weights because, you know, Vince Wilfork's 325. He's 300 billion pounds. Whatever.
Why don't we move to the defensive ends and try to find some guys that we think could be defensive linemen? And not necessarily outside linebackers, because I thought a lot of these, you know, Derek Morgan, you know, a lot of these guys, I think, are good players, but they don't necessarily translate to 3-4 end for the Patriots.
Right.
Were there guys, did you guys find players in this list that you thought translated to Patriots-type defensive linemen?
Maybe not so much at the top, just because of like what you said, Paul, but maybe somewhere down in the middle, the kid from Murray State, Austin Lane, might need to gain a little weight for what the Patriots like as far as measurables at that position, but I liked what I saw on tape from him. He looked a little bit raw.
I actually like him as an outside linebacker.
Yeah, I think he would be an outside linebacker here.
I loved his tape, but, you know, I don't know what he weighed at the combine. His pre-combine weight was listed at 267.
He actually gained weight to 276.
Okay, well, that makes sense because I'm sure they try to fatten him up a little bit. But even then, that's a little light for...
Maybe the Greg Hardy guy from Mississippi as a potential lineman might have to gain maybe about 10 pounds or so. But
see, that's where I thought a lot of these guys, and again, I was impressed with some of these players as well. I found guys that were intriguing in terms of outside linebacker, not so much in terms of defensive line. You know, I know Dunlap is a, you know, a guy that was in a lot of trouble at Florida. And then, you know, to the point where he got himself suspended for the biggest game of his career in the SEC championship game. But, boy, I'll tell you, he makes a lot of plays.
Yeah, he did. He did, and, he had a great looking tape.
And I think at 290-ish, you're probably, you know, close enough that, you know, you get him on the nutritional program and learn power at the NFL level, Andy.
Sure.
You never know.
Yeah,
you know, he might be big enough to be a 3-4 end.
I think, if anything, a lot of these guys, and I think Griffin falls in it, Dunlap, I think these are guys that would have to be linebackers here. I don't think they have the size and power to play the position.
Yeah, and that's my gut reaction for both.
The one guy that we didn't actually have tape on but has been slotted as a potential 3-4 end is Alex Carrington, kid out of Arkansas State, had a big Senior Bowl week. Kind of got a lot of attention from people. He's listed at 6'5", 285.
Liked him at the combine, too.
He would obviously have to bulk up, but he's a guy that I know has been kind of listed as a potential 3-4 end in a variety of places. Mm-hmm. Other than that, I thought most of these guys were outside linebackers for the Patriots.
I agree.
True 4-3 D ends. But again, if there's some sort of schematic change, that would open them up to drafting some of these guys. And I just wanted to say, I personally thought the opposite of the D tackles. I don't think these defensive ends are very good, personally.
Not as good as the tackle.
The top end guys. Derek Morgan, I have my questions about. I know he was very productive, but I'm a little worried about the jump. I think there's a chance he was one of those really good college players. Pierre Paul, you guys know,
right.
I think,
right.
is ridiculously overrated for people that think he's a top 10 prospect after 7 games as a starter.
I think we both feel that way.
1 year of real college football after transferring from JUCO. To me, that's way too much of a projection. I've read some stuff, may not be the brightest bulb on the tree, and a lot of different things there. Dunlap I don't like because I think there's some character concerns. I think he's a bit of a true tweener, too, Paul.
I can't argue with that.
Everson Griffin, another guy.
His athleticism.
Great athlete, great measurables. I'm not sure he's a good football player. I'm not sure he's going to be a good NFL football player. And these are all guys with these question marks that are considered potential first-round picks. No thanks. I think there's other guys later in the draft.
I think the problem here, and you just touched on it, Andy, is the word tweener. I think there's too many. There's too much unknown. I think there's some wonderful athleticism with the top guys here. Griffin, Dunlap, Morgan. You guys know I love Derek Morgan.
Yep.
But I don't know for sure how they fit. And it's awfully hard to invest a first-round pick in a guy when you don't know for sure how they fit.
One late-round, perhaps, tackle prospect who's listed as an end here was that I thought was South Carolina Clifton Gethers, 6'7", 281.
I think he's got the definite size to do that. I liked him.
Very raw.
But he's a late-round guy. Yeah. I liked him, and I think he was one of the few guys that could play end in a 3-4.
I think he has an injury, too.
Oh, boy.
I want to say
every guy I liked
major
has an injury problem.
Injury. Torn quad.
That falls in line with Bill's concerns about the overall health in this draft, too.
I did want to say we apparently omitted Brandon Graham
in the outside linebacker discussion.
Part of that, to me, is I'm not sure he's a great fit for outside linebacker here. The way I've heard it discussed and put it is Graham is more of a straight-ahead guy. He needs to be moving forward at all times, whereas Kendall, kind of those top two guys that have been paired with the Patriots near 22, is the all-around athlete that Mike Vrabel can be straight ahead, but can be going backwards, sideways, in any direction you need him to. So that may be why we omitted him.
We didn't have tape of him,
which is a big screw-up on our part, which is the same thing with Jared Odrick, who's a guy that's been slotted in as a 3-4 end potentially to the Patriots. And those guys, interestingly.
Which, by the way, we almost forgot Jared Odrick in this discussion.
Those two guys battled it out for the Defensive Player of the Year last year in the Big Ten. I believe Odrick took the honor. Graham came in second despite leading the country in tackles for a loss with 25. I think he's an interesting player. I just think he's going to be more of a pass rusher in the NFL. That's what he's going to be, whether it's an end or an outside linebacker or a rush linebacker, whatever you want to call it. And it seems Bill is intent on not finding a guy that can just do that, but finding a guy that can play the position as he kind of draws it up in the defense. So I think that's why we may have omitted Graham a little bit. Kind of slipped through the crack.
And I want to say that I really like Graham based on the highlights I've seen on TV, the tapes that we've seen.
Just anybody who just watched the Senior Bowl week has to like him.
Yeah.
From a pass rush standpoint, he's as good as any guy I've seen in any of these prospects.
But
I think Andy hits the nail on the head when he talks about Kindle. And the reason why I like Kindle, and I think Andy likes Kindle, I think he does more things.
The theory of Kindle is better.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, whether or not they pan out, who knows? I think if you're going to compare just the pass rushing skills of Graham to Kindle, I would take Graham.
Right.
I don't think necessarily Bill would look at it that way.
And I don't think the team needs that.
No,
they don't need just a pass rusher. They need a guy who can play all three downs. They need defensive players. They don't want to be going. Remember last year, Rob Ninkovich, Adalys Thomas, and Tully Bantakane, they're all interchangeable.
Mm.
I think they need a guy who's not interchangeable, who's going to be on the field all three plays,
and all three downs. And I agree. Odrick is a guy that, by all accounts, he's a prototypical 3-4 defensive end who can play. He's a guy that could be in play at 22.
Poor man Sue, he looks the part. He kind of looks like Richard Seymour, like build-wise and the whole shtick of what you see as a 3-4 end. I liked him at the combine.
I did too.
Didn't get any bad impressions of him. I wouldn't be stunned if they picked him. I just don't really want him.
Most Penn State kids are going to be good kids too. You know, they don't all pan out in terms of their NFL careers because some of them just aren't talented enough. But For the most part, when you get a big, when you get a Penn State kid, you're usually going to you get usually
solid
getting a solid player.
I liked Odrick too. I want more of a playmaker at that spot if they're going to make a pick at 22.
I feel the same way.
I agree. He's a solid pick. He just won't be fun.
All right, we have.
Didn't you resign last time they took a 3-4 defensive end in the first round?
With the 6th overall pick, though, that was
Richard Seymour. Now they'll replace Seymour with Odrick. Will you resign again?
I was young.
I'd like an office with a refrigerator.
I was young. I was naive. I wasn't as learned on the two gapping techniques as I am today.
Had more hair,
less fat.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Maybe a little.
Yeah. Yeah. All that's true. What's the position? We've basically reached the end here. We have one more pre-draft podcast to come your way next week. I don't know for sure what position we haven't talked about. Have we not talked about the secondary yet?
So we'll do the secondary.
We'll have to.
I think we definitely haven't done. I don't remember.
Right, so we will do defensive backs next week.
We will talk about the secondary a little
Eric
bit.
Eric is very good.
And
yes, he is.
Taylor may or may not be a good pro.
And we will all.
Oh, boy.
Thank you, Chris Berman, Andy Hart.
Let's remind you that we will have 3 live shows over the draft weekend. Thursday night, 9 to 11 Eastern Time. We will come at you live for the Patriots' first-round draft pick.
Hopefully.
And we'll also
slotted in at this point at 9:45 p.m.
I believe we'll go 6 to 8 on Friday and from 2 to 4 on Saturday afternoon. Until then, one more draft podcast review. Eric, will we?
Preview?
The prospects.
I thought he was going to say the prospects.
Next Wednesday, Andy Hart.
Who's out?
Thank you for downloading this podcast from Patriots.com. Log on anytime for more news and more podcasts from your favorite team and Patriots.com.